This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Do we still know? Does anyone know what that means? What Despacito actually is all about?
Slowly.
So, Palisa, Amanda, and I had the misfortune of being subjected to Sia singing along because he googled the lyrics and then he started singing along the Spanish lyrics. So, Sia, do we know what the words mean?
Yeah, come on, Sia.
All I know is Despacito directly means slowly, but I have no cooking clue what the rest of the song means, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try to sing along to it. I think I was at least an 11 out of 10.
I know what you think.
That doesn't mean it is so. We've all heard Sia sing, and it's a horrible thing.
Hi, guys. Despacito. Quiere respirato tu colastecito. Tu que te diga cose al olido. Para que.
Sounds like you're ordering in a Mexican restaurant.
Para que te rasto si no está conmigo.
Oh, my God. Really?
All I know is for certain is sube, 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 sube. Then that's fine. And I think I'm somewhat pitch perfect there. Thank you.
I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, God.
Don't let them bring you down.
You're awesome.
Hey, guys, apparently the first gay Muslim wedding happened this week.
Gay Muslim. Oh, wow.
And did it happen in Syria? Or in Saudi Arabia? Or in Iraq? Or in Jordan?
Probably happened in the US?
Australia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Too bloody right, mate.
Yeah.
Shoo.
I'm proud of Australia for that. All right. Just an interesting aside there. A first gay Muslim wedding in the world.
That is interesting. Weren't Australia just a few months ago still debating the whole gay union thing?
Yeah, I don't know what their story is.
I also don't know what their story is. They were still debating it as if, you know, they still needed to pass it into law. But I could very well be confused with my details.
And remember that tennis player as well. I think she was from Australia.
Margaret Court.
That's, yeah.
Margaret Court's the one who's very anti-gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are. Gay marriage is legal in Australia, but there are a lot of people who are opposed to it.
Okay.
Just like in any situation, there's going to be someone who's anti something. Vaping is from the devil. I vaped last night for the first time, took a nice solid puff on that contraption, and was higher than Mount Everest.
Whoa.
I just didn't know how to fucking get down from that high, says Vince.
It was obviously vaping spliff, though, because you do get vape machines for the weed.
Yeah, he said, I'm going back to joints. I thought I was a pro, but I'm not.
Okay.
Wow. So you vape weed as well.
Yeah.
See, these vape machines are so ugly.
Allegedly, it tastes like wet cabbage.
Oh.
Like it tastes like, you know.
What, like vaping weed?
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. It's like what you would imagine chewing wet grass to taste like. That's what you taste in your mouth. Hypothetically, allegedly, according to friends.
I bought, you know, my parents are, please.
You know when you need to back it up as strongly
that
as
time,
you did.
That time that I watched other people blaze through a weaver.
Sure.
It's a different kind of vape. It's not the same kind of machine that you put the little liquid cartridges into that people think they have some right to smoke in restaurants. It's like a hollow chamber device. You put actual spliff in the hollow bit, screw the electric bit on. You got to set it to get to a certain temperature, and then you...
Wow. Then sounds like a very sophisticated piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Like it should be part of iPhone 8.
Yeah, exactly. iVape. And yeah, it then like is like literally like the wet cabbage thing that I said, but you do get monged, though.
I mean,
yeah. Monged.
Yeah, you get monged.
Monged.
The only thing is it sounds like it's whenever someone vapes, it sounds like this old person who's on like their final breath.
And what do you mean?
They're on like some oxygen tank thingy. The sound it makes.
Oh, yeah. Like a tracheotomy vibe.
Very odd.
Sounds like popcorn lung.
Is that even... I mean, was there ever any conclusion as to whether that was a thing? It was like this big... But
popcorn lung was apparently a thing that smokers would get where they...
If they vaped.
Yeah, if you listen to the... Well, just smoking. If you listen to their lung through a stethoscope, you'd hear it going pop, 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 pop. like a popcorn machine.
But they're also like, you know, when vaping hit the scene, people were all like, no, it's 100% safe. It's completely risk-free. And then you get these alternate guys. No, it's even worse because it will cause popcorn. And in the end, you have no idea whether it's
going to... Listen.
Exactly. We have no idea.
Yeah. All I will say is, as a non-smoker, I haven't got a problem with vaping because it smells nicer.
I don't think so.
You don't like it?
I don't think it smells nicer or worse. What bothers me is that...
It smells like whatever flavor they put in it. Cherry or banana.
I've had the argument several times. People, like in a restaurant, someone just busts out their vape. Or even in a cinema, someone busts out their vape. And no, the argument is that, well, it's legal. But I'm like, so is taking off your shoes and playing with your toenails. But you don't do it in a restaurant. I don't want to sit and experience your grape-flavored Ming while I'm eating in a restaurant. And your argument is because it's legal. So it's farting. But don't do it next to me in the cinema or in the restaurant.
Gosh, God.
I like that's good, sensible thinking, actually.
So I am actually interested, Gareth. You've never, ever, ever even to experiment, like with a cigarette? You've never?
Look, my parents both smoke. Uh-huh. My sister smokes. A lot of my friends smoke. I've had cigarettes around me my whole life. In fact, I don't even think my... mother stopped when I was growing inside her.
Your mind didn't.
She didn't give a damn.
She didn't know.
No, she didn't give a damn. And at that stage, nobody really had an issue with it. And I think it must have, according to some people, it would have affected me adversely. I don't think I feel sorry for myself at all. And I don't have an issue with smokers, and I don't have an issue with smoking. I think it's one of those things that... It's a false flag situation where we've got real issues in the world, real health problems and real health concerns, and there are doctors who will decry me for what I'm about to say, but I do not think that that is our biggest problem. Again, if people want to put stuff into their bodies, cool. Mm. I've just never felt compelled to light up a cigarette that makes smoke and ash and put that into my lungs. I'm not that excited by that idea. I don't mind, because I'm a hypocrite, saying that I've smoked Hubly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind saying that I've tried those vape pens. I've tried a cigar once, which I found horrible.
What did you think of the vape pen?
I don't inhale it into the lungs, so it really just is a taste thing.
Yeah.
And unnecessary, but fine, you know. It's like it didn't do anything for me.
Mm.
And I don't know why I've never tried a cigarette. Probably I should have.
No, but now as you're... telling the backstory, it makes sense though. If you've grown up,
it's not a thing.
Yeah.
So the whole deal with what people are doing, what they want to smoke, what they want to drink, to bring up a situation that Sia raised this morning in the first hour about how one of his neighbors woke up and started praying really loudly in tongues at 3 a.m. And Sia decided, I'm not going to sleep through this, opened up a bottle of wine and had a glass and a half at 3 a.m.
Yeah, man.
A lot of people would judge that. I'm saying you should be able to do whatever you want to your body, and if you can get on with it and do your work, you can make a positive contribution to the earth.
I used to smoke.
Do whatever you want. You used to?
I don't miss it. Yeah, I did. I smoked for five. Let's work this out quickly. I smoked for 5 years from when I was 15. I quit for 6 years. I relapsed by smoking cigars with friends, cherry cigars with friends when I was out drinking. First with a specific friend, then when he wasn't there, then when I wasn't drinking, and then and then I watched Korn at the Coke Fest and the Coca-Cola Fest in it was 2008 or so, and a friend lit a cigarette and I just took it out of her mouth. I smoked it, and again I smoked a pack a day after that. Immediately I was right back on it. So on for five, off for six. Smoked for 4 years, and now I'm coming up on 5 years since I quit again.
Hmm.
It is very addictive.
Yeah, and I learned it's hard to quit, and I learned that if you dabble, you get straight back in. So now I won't touch or go nearer. But I can't criticize other people for smoking because it would make me a massive hypocrite dickhead. But I'm glad I don't anymore.
Hmm. But I've heard quite a couple of people who will, you know, speak in defense of marijuana when they counter arguing the fact that it's apparently so dangerous for us. People say, no, nicotine is probably like a more addictive substance than like some of these drugs that you're also scared of. What? Nicotine and alcohol.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if that's true.
Again,
it helps their argument, but I don't know where the basis of that comes from.
Let's try to be consistent. Either you are anti all of these things because you believe someone, you should be in charge of someone else's health and you should make rules for them. And maybe if you're a parent, you should when you've got children in your care. But I say, do whatever you want. Mm. None of my business. I don't care. What I will say, though, is the smell of weed is not particularly appetizing to me as a non-smoker. The smell of cigarette smoke is not a particularly pleasant smell to me as a non-smoker.
But so, you dig the vape, though.
I don't mind the vape smell. I don't mind the hubbly smell. And I don't mind occasionally cigar smoke. But the other night I was out in Cape Town, this is a couple of months ago now, and there was a guy smoking a big fat Cohiba cigar.
Ooh, that's a stanky thing, dude.
The smell actually made me kind of nauseous, yeah. Which is odd, because I don't normally get activated by that kind of smell.
And that's another thing, like, okay, so with the whole disclaimer, people must do what they want, you can't ban one thing, legalize another thing, all completely agreed, but that is a particularly myth thing. I can't understand why people dig it. I mean, I don't know, it's a huge industry and people love
like
it.
It smells like it was wet.
I hit a cigar manky. And I just feel like I've just burnt an entire gym sock. And I just want to raise one more point on the weed thing, right? Like, I used to smoke. I don't anymore because I grew out of it, whatever, metaphorically speaking. And I also, like, I believe it should be legalized. I believe it has medicinal properties. But what pisses me off is stoners who want to sit on the couch and eat Fritos while watching Dragon Ball Z in adulthood, posting stuff like, it cures cancer, it cures glaucoma. It's like, dude, you don't have cancer or glaucoma.
You just want to get high.
You want to eat Fritos and get high. So that's a high horse to get off of. My lady is a PhD in neuroscience, and she did a master's in marijuana psychosis.
Snap.
It can break your mind. That thing has got real dangers. It was, okay, you have to have pre-existing psychiatric conditions. Well, lots of people
can
do.
Break your mind.
You smoke and you can go nuts, and it's a real thing that someone I'm very close to has a master's degree in marijuana psychosis. It's
well, I mean, all
condition.
You have to do is think back to if you've ever been high. You can completely.
Which, of course, none of us have, and we've only heard about.
Of course not. But you could completely believe that for some people it really will send them over the edge. It's completely believable. I mean, you get paranoid.
Yeah.
Some people hallucinate. I believe her when she says that it can break your mind. I believe that 100%.
I mean, it's a thing people get master's degree in. It's not master's degrees in. It's not a debatable thing. But the debate now, other people are like, no, you're not susceptible to it unless you have some pre-existing psychiatric condition, which otherwise would not have been triggered.
Yeah, but we know mental health statistics are starting to be spread around now to the degree that we had no idea of how many people were actually psychologically pretty broken, damaged, or unstable. And I think it's, what, 3 in every 5 people could have some kind of depression, mania, something a little worse, psychosis.
Some form of bipolar.
Schizophrenia, whatever it might be. Everybody's got a little bit of a predisposition to that if you take it on average.
Yeah, but this is a substance that can trigger those things which otherwise might have been dormant. And before the entire universe starts messaging hatred for me, like, I'm not against weed. I used to smoke a lot of weed. A lot of my friends smoke weed. I believe it should be completely legal, and I believe everyone should have the right to it. It's just, don't come and tell me it's a massively beneficial, glorious health elixir when you want to get blazed, smoke bongs, eat fried chicken and watch shitty television, because more power to you.
Just say you want to get high.
You want to get
that's
high.
Fine. That's don't fine. Bullshit us. Yeah. Okay, I knew this was coming, but Romain from the Renegade Report says he vapes, and we know that. He comes in here with that. He's got that ugly, fat, gigantic.
Oh, the like Jedi
a,
one.
The Jedi. It looks like a lightsaber. It doesn't look like a vape pen. It's a lightsaber, and he lights that thing up, and it goes when he sucks it in, and then there's this cloud of vapor, and then it dissipates very quickly, and it's not unpleasant, I will say. I have no problem with him smoking it around me. He says, people who vape in cinemas and restaurants are detestable. It is that 99% that make us look bad.
Oh, no, well, thank you.
Okay. So at least he admits there is a problem there. How many of you smoke weed regularly? I smoke every day, says somebody. I don't know.
I used to.
I don't know how
in my 20s, which were a while ago.
To.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason I stopped doing it. It's just because, like, I found it was a heavy burden to bear to get stuff done.
I mean, I used to get high regularly back in varsity.
I used to blaze every day.
Every day I was fucking high.
The human mind then is fascinating in that way, because it's about how things develop or move around in your head. Like, case in point, I'm not a smoker at all, but when I get drunk, I get like,
you
want
to smoke
this
cigarettes?
Yes. But the morning after, as soon as I'm sober, I've never, ever, ever had the urge at all. But it's something about...
There's also the curious case of these social smokers, right? And there are people like this. Don't discount them.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks you're either a smoker or you're not. So my business partner, Rina, she will have a cigarette very occasionally, either when there is a social situation and someone else has some ciggies, she feels like one, or if she's very, very anxious sometimes, but hardly regularly. You couldn't call her a smoker. And she's totally able to turn it off and not want a cigarette for months at a time and then switch it back on when she feels like one.
And my brother smokes like a cigarette a year.
That's amazing.
No, for real.
It's almost
usually when he's drunk and fishing.
Really?
Drunk and fishing, that combination.
I've seen him smoke 5 times.
Huh.
And he's like in his 40s. That's it.
Wow. All right. Well, I'd like to hear what you think of this. Maybe you've got some thoughts on it, because it does keep coming up, and we all have situations at work and at home and in social sort of situations where people are smoking, and they're ostracized because we have laws in this country that mean the smokers have to go outside in the dead of winter and stand on the balcony. And that's okay. I mean, at least they're not, you know, breathing that secondhand smoke into the faces of people who didn't ask for it. I think that's totally reasonable.
Mm.
But we do have a lot of productivity that comes off our bottom line, because smokers spend an inordinate amount of time sorting out their addiction.
Yeah, some companies try and limit the amount of smoke breaks you can take a day. What do you think of that?
Again, like, you're at work to work. I don't imagine if I had a shot of tequila in the morning and at lunchtime and in the evening. Just to because that was my addiction.
But it would affect your ability to do your work. I mean, not aside from the time away from your computer.
No, it's
it would affect your mental perspective.
That's not an argument. Then let's say I wanted to do push-ups.
Yeah, okay, better analogy.
Let's say I needed to do 10 push-ups every half hour. And I started doing this in the middle of meetings. It's not acceptable social behavior. It's like you say, you don't fart in the cinema.
You try not to.
No. So you don't do any of these things too. A lot of people come in with their health problems and they need to drink a quarter of a glass of water with some fizzy tablet in it every 15 minutes. You can't behave like you're meant to be focused on what it is that you're there to do. Don't bring everyone else into your problem or your habit. Not allowed.
Or your vice. I think that's what it is.
But it's I also think the workplace, you don't want to have it like you chained to your desk. You need to be able to, you've got a productivity target. You need to do what you got to do. You've got to get
it done. I totally agree.
And if you want to do it at night, I mean, I work a lot like that. I totally agree.
But let's say you got an hour's meeting.
Yeah, you don't need to have
survive.
A cigarette.
You can make it through the hour.
Dudes used to smoke on planes. Do you remember when you probably see a bit young, but you used to walk around a shopping center, Sandton City, and there were ashtrays every 25 meters and those would walk and smoke. You'd walk into a store and smoke. Wow. I remember that, but like, if you can go a 14-hour flight without smoking and then, you know, rush out of the airport off to customs and then have your cigarette, you can get through a meeting or a...
But the problem is that on the plane, you will be charged. You'll be legally charged for smoking on that 14-hour flight. But at work, we've created the kind of, you know, social existence where, well, if you want to smoke, just go outside and handle your business. So then they don't want to get through that hour meeting because they know that at work, no, I can always just step outside.
I wanted to say on the subject of people...
Amanda, you're very soft. Speak a little louder for us.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. I wanted to say, like, on the subject of waiting to smoke and how long you can wait, my dad was telling me he was doing the 94.7 and they were, like, going up Kalami where, like, it's a steep hill and stuff. And he says there was a guy that rode past him on his bike smoking.
I get that.
You know what? That kind of impresses me because he's doing two directly opposed things in one. He is on a bike, he is cycling, which means he's possibly fit and healthy, and at the same time he's like smoking, which is just like a terrible habit for your health.
Listen, there's some people who they smoke their whole lives long and then they give up smoking and they die. They go into shock because they haven't had a cigarette in like 6 weeks, and then their body just goes, I'm out, I'm finished, I'm done. So you got to do whatever you want to do. And again, everybody's biology is different. It's like this whole nutrition discussion, which I'm so bored with, because some people can process certain foods better than others. Some people have a predisposition to certain foods. Some people have a genetic predisposition to putting on or losing weight. Some people look different to others. Just let's leave it alone. Mm. It's not, you've got to take each case on its merits.
And with everything, the scientific information is so conflicting, and it's like a pain in the ass to try and learn because people are fighting instead of learning.
But there's not a chance that it's going to be left alone. I mean, the nutrition, the food industry is a multi-billion rand industry. Any opportunity for somebody to get in there and make money off the latest, newest, best diet for you.
Now they're saying they're coconut oil is like a myth and doesn't have any of the benefits.
There you go.
Listen, again, do whatever you want. Yeah. All of it should be legal. If you are an adult over the age of 21, let's say, if people are worried that 18-year-olds are much more stupid than 21-year-olds, which I don't believe. Let's say 21, you do whatever the hell you want.
Consent, no children, no animals.
Because I literally had a teacher who was late 60s who literally lived off, she always called it a coke and a smoke. That's all we ever saw her actually take into her body. Never actually proper food. She was never into that. And look, like, she made it 60 odd years and she's still alive today. So good on her.
What does she sound like?
She does, though. She does sound like
her. Okay, sorry. Children.
And her fingernails, we used to think, like, I wonder what color that is. They were all, they're just permanently this hint of
yellow
or a beige. Yellowy brownie,
and the teeth and the fingernails, it's disgusting.
I call it long-term smoker's ming. You can see it, dude. When you walk past in the airport, when you walk past the smoking lounge, as you come in, you can see it through the glass window, and all the people that smoke are in that little box. There's a vibe about them. It's like, when you're all together, I can see there's like this long-term smoker's ming.
Well, Greg says, I've been to the tobacco auction floors in Malawi where the farms are. If you see the raw product being sorted by grade, etc., you wouldn't immediately smoke. I don't imagine so. You know, it's not like tea leaves. Tobacco leaves, they're not pretty.
What are they like?
Well, they're sort of long and they go yellow very quickly. And it's like almost a...
Are they grassy things or are they like leafy things?
No, they're leafy things.
Okay.
They're leafy. It's quite a... you can just Google it. Yeah. You can see it for yourself.
There's that.
It's pretty, morning, dudes. Here is a direct translation of the chorus of Despacito. Okay. This is from Tony. Slowly I want to breathe your neck. Slowly let me tell you the things in your ears. So that you remember when you're not with me. Slowly I want to strip you off with kisses. Slowly sign the walls of your labyrinth and make your whole body a manuscript. Turn it up, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up. Cheers, Tony.
Yo, guys.
Erotic as.
Woo! Mm-hmm. This is why I am part Latino. See, like.
No, you're not.
Don't crush my dreams.
Zueletu says, I believe you do get those who have pre-existing mental imbalances that are triggered by marijuana. We're all wired to react to marijuana. How I react, an example of me getting too high is making coffee and putting it in the fridge right after I know.
Hero.
I also buy a 20 every time I go into the liquor store, and I don't smoke during the week when I'm not drinking. Yeah, you see, I don't ever find a reason to drink on my own or during the week.
I try not
to.
This
is very personal now.
It sneaks in.
No.
It's socially fine in most places. Do what you want.
Mm.
I'm not going to impose my rules on everyone else. It works for me. Jared says, I only smoke when I drink. I used to smoke a pack a day. Then I decided I'm only going to smoke at night. Then I went to smoking while I drink. Now I'm going to quit. On the weed situation, I'm one of those that gets sweats and paranoia whenever I tried it. Mm. Yeah, there are those people who immediately know it's not for them.
Yeah.
Ashley Glover says, I read Gord's blog posts about his impressive weight loss journey.
I'm fat now, though.
Please mention it. He's super inspiring about weight loss and very transparent on Facebook about it too. Yeah, Gord is with us sort of in the last couple of days. He spent Monday with us. He's here today. He'll come back on Friday just to chill with us while Ben's away. And I was always very interested. Gord's a really good writer.
Thank you.
And he did one of the first interviews with me when he was back at FHM magazine.
Back in the day.
It's a guy's thing.
Remember all those years ago. And we just kind of hit it off. Mm. And I like the way he thinks about the world. And even if I didn't, he's got really interesting opinions that are worthy of being shared. But he did undertake this very open, transparent and personal weight loss journey on social media long before anyone else thought it was cool to do so. You revealed stuff about yourself that wasn't always comfortable or pretty. You said how you really felt. You argued with a lot of people. And I thought that was pretty hectic stuff at the time. You still into that?
Yeah, man. I mean, my weight, I'm very open about it. It seems to help other people. My weight is, it was up for the first 28 years of my life. I was always very overweight. And since then, it's been the last 8 years, I lost 67 kilos in 14 months. And since then, I've gained and lost 30 or more kilos 3 times. And I now have to do it again because I'm currently, as you can see, I'm very overweight at the moment. But it's up and down. And I find, you know, I deal with it in public. I find it helps other people. When I'm gaining weight, I talk about it and I say I'm suffering with it. I'm not in a good place. I don't know, having a fatness relapse, as I call it. And then when I document my training, I'm not one of those people that posts a gym selfie every day, but I talk about, okay, I'm back in boxing now. I've lost a bit of weight. This is my food preparation. People ask what works for me in terms of dieting and weight loss. And yeah, man, it's like, it's weird because I don't really want to be defined by it, but at the same time, suffering in public helps me. It keeps me accountable, and it at least a dozen people that I know have had improvements in their have benefited in their struggles with weight as a result, apparently, of how I discuss it now. I talk about it, so it's tricky. It's like it's a difficult thing to live with, but I find like I'm not ashamed of it, and other people suffer silently with the same thing. So let's talk about it, and maybe we can all help each other.
No, good philosophy. I don't know how anyone could argue with that.
Yeah, I prefer being thin, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody's happy with how they look. Nobody. Everybody wants to look a little bit better.
But I'm still happy with myself, and I'm still comfortable.
Happy with yourself, but the way you look.
I'm still happy, a happy human being when I'm overweight. I just prefer not to be. So,
Here's something interesting. No smoking on planes anymore. I had KFC pup and seafood takeaways. Now we have barefoot in the toilets. Last week, Johannesburg to Cape Town. Thought the lovely Mubs would like this one. And then Bryden sent a picture of a guy without shoes on walking through the cabin of a flight that he was on.
I don't know how people are that confident to take their shoes off in a public space.
But even
I actually, it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I didn't know that that was a problem. I mean, I don't do it, but I didn't know it was not allowed.
But more than that, walking, Beth, do you understand how many funky stuff you are collecting,
dude? Planes
on your
on your feet, on like, your feet. And then you're going to get home, and then you're going to do what? You're going to jump into your bed, into your sheets with those feet?
Planes are also just a Ming pit of hell. That air is recycled the whole time. There's only so much air.
I really like the way you speak.
It will get underneath your little crusty toenails. Nothing will ever come out. And then you're surprised in 15 years' time when you have a flesh-eating disease. Yes.
Or Machaka is busy coming to visit you in Kisumu with shoes because your feet are rotten.
By the time the pilot reckons you're going into descent and you have to turn off your devices for no apparent reason, and you ignore that and secretly continue listening to Lamb of God because it's rad, by the time that happens, you have been inside the chest of every single person on that plane. A couple of times.
For all the times that we get encouraged to wash our hands throughout the day, why are you going to walk around barefoot?
You don't put your feet in your mouth.
No, but it's about what you're collecting on your person.
Feet just are gross.
They are pretty gross.
If someone, even a really pretty girl has her feet up on the sofa and she's like wiggling her toes.
Really?
She's got marks under her feet because she's been walking around barefoot, and then she's picked up some of that black stuff that somehow seems to be everywhere.
People are eating breakfast at this time.
Yeah, but that's what it is.
Sia was talking earlier about the effect of the fingernails of long-term smokers, Ming. Mm-hmm. You get people with feet that look like they smoke with them. Dude, it kills me.
Like yellow and crusty.
Yeah, and like beige. And one of the funniest headlines I ever saw on The Onion was like, man has startling realization. Middle-aged man looks at feet, has startling realization he's turning into his father. old people always have minging feet, dude.
See, but I admire pretty feet. I don't mind if you have pretty feet to like, you know, we're chilling together and put them on the couch. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, you don't look like an ogre.
Some people should not be wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, if you look like Shrek's sibling, let's keep it right.
You have basically got... Madam, you have hooves.
So it's okay. It's okay to vape, and it's okay to smoke the magic technology cigarette, but don't get your manky feet out in front of people.
Hey, Michelle, what's up? Michelle?
Hi, Gareth, it's Michelle. How's it?
Good, what's happening?
I just wanted to say, while you're talking about manky feet, I have severe foot issues.
Oh, Jesus.
I cannot walk bare feet. It freaks me out to no end. I can't even walk from my dive locker bare feet to get into my wetsuit. I've got slops. I shower in slops at work.
Yeah.
No way. There's too many dodgy people with foot fungi all over.
Oh.
Uh-uh.
Athlete's foot.
That's my biggest. That's my biggest fear. If you want to talk to me, make me wear no shoes.
Oh,
that would kill me.
All right. Hey, how's the aquarium?
Yeah, busy. Hey, all the valleys are here and using all our water. Our shark tank's a bit green. It's almost to spot the shark if you can. We've got 9 sharks in there, but we're having a bit of water quality issues, but we're working on it.
Have you had any rain?
What's that?
Had any rain in Cape Town? Oh, well, there goes that line.
Well, I guess, sorry, this just in. Somebody walked up to Michelle and pulled her shoes off of her. She collapsed on the spot. She died.
Do you know, now as you actually grow older, you look back at some things.
Because you're so old.
No. Well, you look back on certain things and you go, how is this even allowed? But we have a great aunt. And like for us as kids and her grandkids, it was like something we looked forward to clip her toenails.
Oh.
But that is cute, you know, because she was old and frail and she couldn't reach anymore.
Oh, man.
And you know, you would be honored if she asked you.
Really?
To like sit on the floor and like clip her toenails. Now, it's nasty.com.
I work at an IT company, says somebody, where you can wear what you want. And many guys walk around without shoes on. So they have black feet underneath.
Yeah. Hyperoma foot, I call that. It's a condition. Yeah. Like people.
God, you have your own dialect.
Yes, please explain that.
Hyperoma foot.
Like, yeah, if you like, you know, when somebody's like been doing something barefoot in a dirty environment and you see the underside of their feet and it's just that like layer of soot, like they've been free climbing inside a chimney. I call it hyperoma foot because the hyperoma, allegedly and in my experience, and this is only an opinion, many of the children accompany their parents for no apparent reason on the shopping, because I mean obviously if you're doing your monthly 3-hour shop you need your 7 screaming kids with you. They tend to be barefooted, and that experience makes hyperoma foot.
Okay, great way of describing that. Morning guys, in DPUS says, I still say there should be a law in the Constitution that forces people to cover their feet. I hate looking at people's feet. DPUS are very, very emotional about this. Yeah.
We respect your right to do MDMA and to smoke, but for God's sake, keep your feet out of the public domain.
But you know, there are also the people who just do socially very bizarre things in public places. In restaurants, you will see someone going at the table while everybody else is trying to eat their breakfast, their dinner, or whatever it might be. Mm. You'll have people who will blow their nose and make the biggest racket you could possibly imagine. Some people, I don't know if their parents maybe didn't ever know better or didn't teach them or didn't sit them down and say, listen, these are the kinds of things that you should be doing in public, and these are the kinds of things it might be better to do in private.
I just wish everyone could see Sia's face right now. He's appalled.
Do you know what I'm... You know, this is the day of delighting in the neighbors that I have. And I always try to catch my neighbor doing this, like to
where
record them.
Where do you live in a mental hospital?
Evidently, you know. I try to often like record them, but I miss the moment. Because as you know, Sia loves, you know, indulging in a bath every morning.
And you luxuriate.
Yes, I soak up. So there I am in my tub. It's usually at like half past 4, 4:45, and I'm having great relaxing time.
Right.
And I have a neighbor who just as soon as she wakes up, just starts, this snorting situation, this clearing of the throat. I understand, like, she's in her own private, you know, place, but it's a...
Yeah, it sounds like pigs at the trough.
Are you, do you have those, like, thin-ass prefab walls?
No, well, what makes it worse is, you know, my bathroom windows are open and opens, you know, close to their bathroom windows as well. So I hear...
It goes outside and comes back in.
I got an upstairs neighbor, I'm convinced, clog dances at 5 in the morning.
No, I have a drunk neighbor who lives on top of me who cannot walk in heels. So it's the issue of being drunk and walking in heels makes for delightful noise above me. Oh. This isn't it nice?
I was hoping to bring up today, in the absence of Ben, I was hoping to bring up today the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight, and if anybody's got any opinions on that, because I'm, when it comes to that, I'm loving it.
Not opinions, no, but I did see a whole bunch of pictures on social media with the two of them facing off as
Has
they
it
do. No. It's happening in August.
26th, I believe.
So what's the deal there?
Are we very excited?
I'm so excited. But I mean, it's also one of those bizarre things. They say it's going to be the biggest, the richest sporting event in history.
Ooh.
In terms of the pay-per-view numbers. But it is like, you know, it's just arguably the greatest boxer of all time, certainly one of the greatest of his era, who has fought 49 of the best and beaten them against a guy who isn't a boxer. But, you know, like Conor McGregor said to him, let's have a fight, you and me. I paraphrase, but let's have a fight, you and me, with a nice bunch of rules to keep you alive.
Wow.
In an actual fight, and Dana White of the UFC said, dude, in an actual fight, Conor McGregor will beat Floyd Mayweather and his 6 bodyguards. But now you got to, it's like saying Roger Federer and Ricky Ponting are going to play a tennis match.
Is that how we see the? Is that how distinct it is?
Yeah, I mean, so Floyd's not just a pro boxer. He's one of the great pro boxers. But at the same time, McGregor's bigger. His style is unorthodox. Floyd is known for his ability to predict and defend.
So what
boxers.
Rules, as a complete amateur when it comes to understanding these rules, so you know something about UFC. So Conor McGregor, he would use his legs, he'd use his arms, he'd use his head,
wrestle,
he'd use whatever
you,
the hell he
not
can.
His head, but yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, in boxing, you can't kick the guy.
Yeah, belly button and up.
Okay.
So then how have the rules...
So is Conor going to have to follow
that? It's entirely a boxing match. He and the exact contractual rule conditions have not been fully disclosed at this moment, but there is a talk of the fact that if he even fakes a kick, then he's going to lose his purse or be heavily penalized financially. But it's just like, I mean, it's that... If he wins.
So he's had to learn a whole new discipline, and all Floyd's had to do is do what he's always done.
Well, come out of retirement at age 40 with badly damaged hands against a 28-year-old who's bigger than him and hits very, very hard. MMA fighters learn boxing as part of what they train, but because they can't focus on it 24/7, because there's 10 other things they have to practice, it's 10% maybe, or it's a portion of what they have to learn, and also they use smaller gloves. So they're not able to defend as much. It's a different thing. It's not as far apart as Ponting and Federer playing a tennis match, but it is really like he's got a 1% chance of winning, but if he wins on that 1% chance, the whole world will be shaken up. He's got nothing to lose. If you're one of the best MMA fighters in the world at the moment and you lose to one of the greatest boxers of all time, you say, hey, well, I had the courage to go try. If you... arguably the greatest boxer of your generation and an MMA fighter with no professional fights beats you, that's a heck of a thing. It's a huge spectacle and I'm loving it.
Whose bright idea was this?
I think Conor McGregor just challenging, running his mouth and challenging and challenging and challenging.
So really what this is about...
This is what happens when you get two men in a room and they have to battle it out, ego and dick size.
Massive ego. This is all it is. Massive,
it's business
massive
as well, though. It's
yeah, look, they're gonna have a nice payday.
They're both the biggest.
They're gonna have a nice payday.
Exactly. They're both the biggest money draw in their sports. Both of their sports are big money sports. Put them together, biggest wealth, the richest sporting event in history. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
So what are you hoping to see?
I'm hoping to see McGregor smash him in the third round and knock him completely off his feet. But I'm expecting to see Mayweather defend for 12 rounds and win on points by a long margin.
How long is a boxing match?
Usually it's 12 3-minute rounds. And again, I also stand to be corrected on that.
12 3-minutes, so that's 36 minutes.
Whereas an MMA fight is either 3 5-minute rounds or 5 5-minute rounds if it's a championship match.
Oh, you see, I need a halftime show.
The men are hot.
Musical.
With the exception of some battered faces, often the men are hot.
See, I said, yeah, I don't know. There's a blood.
No, really.
In the middle of a boxing match.
So I have to be, like the Super Bowl, I just watch it for the halftime show. So I'll at least probably watch, you know, as they walk in. Because, you know, Floyd walked in with like Jimmy Fallon once or Justin Bieber. Yeah, I'll watch for like those 3 minutes.
I remember when Tyson had DMX walk in.
Yes. I want to see who's in the audience. Yeah, other than that.
Do you rate McGregor as hot? I think
he's
quite hot.
Oh, with the tattoos.
And the ginger coif. I think he's kind of
hot. I need someone who's going to like...
God!
Appreciate a hot man.
Thank you!
I'm comfortable in my masculinity.
You are officially the first straight guy I have ever heard in my existence saying, I think that guy is hot.
Are you kidding? I think Gareth's a beautiful man.
What are you talking about?
Amen.
Hang on.
No.
Ben...
Calling him hot. You have never called a man hot.
No.
Yeah.
Ben...
Only because his standards are so high.
Ben said that he thought Zac Efron was good looking.
When did Ben say
that?
Oh,
but he looked like he was starving in Baywatch, man. They like ripped him. He was too ripped. It was not for me.
That's what I said.
I haven't seen it.
Give the man some carbohydrates.
So for you, it's about hot. Like just saying like, ooh.
Yeah. Because a lot of guys will say, nah, man, we don't look at each other that way. I'm like, it's not about how you're looking at someone. It's just acknowledging what is right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm straight. I identify as cisgender male.
But
I'm straight like the N1 is straight. Like, it's straight, but a few little... You have to go around a traffic circle
six
in Colesbury.
Beers, you know, 6 beers later.
Whoa. Nah, I appreciate a pretty man. I really do.
A pretty man.
Some sexy man.
Someone says here, I had my first cage fight last week.
Well, did you win, homie? How was it?
The budgie didn't know what hit him. And then someone says, I had a random interaction with your old producer,
Damon.
Oh,
sorry, I just got that. I'm sorry.
Have another glass of wine.
No, I thought like budgie was like a bit term or something. Okay.
Oh, see, really?
Wow, that went over my...
No, but don't dribble budgie, but it's not a fair fight, China.
Someone says, I had a random interaction with your old producer, Damon. He has now blocked me. What a strange person. He is a very strange person.
Oh, hang on. Speaking of blocking people, I stumbled upon a very interesting story. Well, it's either interesting or bizarre.
Okay.
Don't fail
Maybe
me
both.
Now.
Don't forget, by the way, coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning, Charles Ngakula and Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula, who are our guests. Some fascinating, fascinating stories from both of them. They're basically political royalty in this country, I think it's fair to say. Some amazing experiences on both parts. Charles Ngakula was the man who took over in the SACP as Secretary General when Chris Hani was assassinated, among other things. He's been a minister in our cabinet in two different portfolios. And Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula, his wife, who's our current Minister of Defense. Really interesting people with amazing stories that are worth telling. And I thought we'd get them in here this morning and spend a bit of time with them, which we're going to do after 8 o'clock today.
So if you were to come across a headline which reads, Trump sued by, you probably wouldn't be too surprised. You'd be like, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, he's got a long and colorful history of litigation.
Right. But in this instance, it is who is suing him that I find rather interesting. He is being sued by Twitter users that he has blocked, which speaks to this thing of ours of not being able to handle rejection. I mean, when you get blocked on Twitter, a lot of people can't handle it. They take it personally.
If the President of the United States blocks you, I'd take that as a huge compliment.
So there is a group of Twitter users that have all been blocked by Trump that have now filed a lawsuit against him. And they're claiming that the president blocking them on the social network is unconstitutional. Yesterday, 7 individual defendants and the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University filed a suit against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The suit argues that Twitter is a public forum under the First Amendment.
Oh, yeah.
And because the president's Twitter account is used for official government announcements, the tweets should be accessible to everyone. The suit asks that the president unblock the users.
Yes.
Twitter enables ordinary citizens to speak directly to public officials and to listen to and debate others about public issues, mm-hmm. in much the same way that they could if they were gathered on, say, a sidewalk or a public park. Now, if a place is considered a public forum, people can't be excluded from attending because of their viewpoints. This is the argument that they're using. The lawsuit argues that this also applies to Twitter. The plaintiffs claim that they were blocked by Trump after tweeting criticism.
No.
Now, conveniently, Twitter did not have a comment on the lawsuit, and the White House could also not be reached for comment.
No.
No, they could not. But, you know, this group of individuals, I don't know if this is just a group of people who are hurt. That they've been blocked by President Trump and now they want to cry about it.
I mean, I desperately want to be spoken to by President Trump. Like, my life is incomplete if I can't hear the pearls of infinite wisdom.
They want to be unblocked by Trump. This is the purpose of their lawsuit.
But, you see, this is what I don't get. And actually, I had this bit of a revelation of a moment last week when I watched this clip of Trevor Noah on The View when he spoke about freedom of speech means legally the government cannot stop you from saying something. But that also means that there is a consequence to what you say. So most probably these, and you have to bear the brunt of that. So most probably these people have been saying something, you know, whether you think it's warranted or not, about the president. And he is also, he cannot stop you from saying those things, but he's also entitled to press that block button. So it's about accepting or taking responsibility. And look, You cannot say that you only rely on Twitter to hear updates about what is going on in your country
There's
or
news,
the White
the
House.
News networks.
Exactly. Or follow the official White House Twitter account then. Or go onto the White House website. But that, calm down, dude.
Also, let's remember that freedom of speech is also about being able to hear whatever you want to hear. It's not just being able to say what you want to say. So if someone lives in a free society, you should be able to pick up any newspaper with any viewpoint. You should be able to follow anyone you like on Twitter. You should be able to hear the things that you're going to disagree with and that are going to offend you. Otherwise, you're not really free. If you're only hearing stuff that makes you happy and that pleases you, you're only getting half the story. So who follows Trump here? Anyone?
No. I don't. I mean, but there are enough retweets in my timeline for me to not to have to follow him. Yeah. I always see what he's tweeting about.
And other people will tell you what he's doing because he's the president.
Well, you see, that would be the counter argument here is if these people are arguing that no, but Twitter is a public space and, you know, he is the president and he talks about government issues which affect me as a citizen of this country, I need to be able to see that. You could see it in your timeline anyway.
Stop. You're whining.
There are plenty of people retweeting Trump.
A non-issue.
Which is why I'm saying that these people are hurt. it's a rejection being blocked.
You know, we use these terms very lightly. You know, like, oh, I'm going to get sued or I have sued. Guys, the time, the effort, the preparation, the money that goes into this, you have a lot of that to waste.
And people are just like so hateful online about anything they don't agree with. And I find the irony of the fact that it's the so-called liberals, you know, the people on and often on very good causes, like, you know, gender equality and feminism. And but they like, you must agree with my belief that you must be nice to everyone or I will crush you in the worst way for not being
exactly
nice.
Exactly in that voice.
I will be unnice to you if you don't agree with me.
Yeah.
So here's something I posted yesterday on Facebook and it got me loads of comments from friends who I've always laughed with and had a good time with. I said, what is the difference between a feminist and a suicide vest? And I posted this picture.
Oh,
of
I saw it.
Suicide vest.
And I knew the storm was coming.
Really angry feminist. So what is the difference between a feminist and a suicide vest, Mubs?
You're not making me read this as a woman.
Go, Sia.
According to this image, a
oh, there's going to be a shitstorm. I'm going to get my popcorn quickly.
The difference between a feminist and a suicide vest, according to this image, is a suicide vest actually accomplishes something when it's triggered.
Clearly, and by the way, this is not this is by no means some kind of statement about women. It's also not a statement about good old feminism, where men and women are equal. It's a comment about these hysterical third wave feminists. It's very particular. That's why there's a picture of the screaming, crazy looking woman on the one side. She's not in, she is not representative of feminism, in my opinion, either. I'm a feminist. I think men and women should be treated equally. They should be given equal opportunity, that women can sometimes make better decisions than men, that men can sometimes do things better than women, but that basically we shouldn't have anyone treated differently because of their gender.
Yeah, or paid differently.
I think a lot of us believe that.
Right. I think that battle's largely been won. The people who still think that men and women ought to be paid differently, or that men and women ought to be treated differently.
Different rights.
Those people are like Cro-Magnon men.
Yeah.
That was second wave feminism. And I think that's the glass ceiling and all of that stuff. There's a lot of discussion around that makes sense to everybody. It's accepted. It's like gay marriage is kind of, if you are anti-gay marriage, people look at you like a dinosaur.
Yeah, don't get gay married if you're anti-gay marriage. But with any argument or point that you're trying to make, how you make it is as important as what your point is. So you might be right. I can come and be an absolute dickhead to you about something I'm right about. I'm still a dickhead.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
I'm a dickhead who's right, but I'm a dickhead.
And I think humor is an important part of the way you do this.
Bro, that's the thing. Sometimes people get so upset about memes, but it's because it's clever wordplay, or it's a humorous misdirect. You know, like comedians deal with race and make race jokes in South Africa a lot. They didn't cause racism. They found a funny way to express the thing. The same with people getting so upset about a really funny, well-put meme that takes the piss out of something that might be a serious issue.
Oh, my God. I just got breaking news. And this is very important because we were talking about this just yesterday with Machaka. Yvonne Chaka Chaka was our guest yesterday. And I mentioned, because someone had brought up with me in discussion, that Ray Peary was very ill. It turns out Ray Peary has died. This is breaking news this morning. So our condolences, obviously, to Ray Peary and his family. He was here on my show last year. And I found the man to be thoughtful and incredibly talented, and obviously all of the things that we knew about him publicly, but also the sort of person who really gave a damn about this country and its people and our musical traditions and our history. And he made an unbelievable contribution to who we are as South Africans, and obviously our thoughts and our prayers go out to him and his family.
Absolutely, Gareth. You know, a couple of people I see on Twitter, Leanne Manis, as part of the, you know, the group of people breaking the news as our IOL. But yeah, the legendary musician, he'd been battling a terminal illness, lung cancer. So
he was 70 years old. And actually, on something we touched on a little earlier, he was speaking up against just being able to make his own decision and not have to endure so much suffering as well. So he wanted to, you know, die with dignity, he says. So, yeah, that conversation continues on.
Rest in peace, Ray Peary. A man who made a massive, massive contribution to what it is to be South African, to our musical lexicon, and someone who we will miss and think about a lot over the next few days, I'm sure. Wow. Sorry to end it on that note for this hour, but Charles Ngakula will join us in the next hour. I'm thrilled to have him here. Nosiviwe is not able to make it this morning, as there's obviously work. She's an cabinet minister. She's in charge of the Department of Defense, for heaven's sake. She's obviously got lots to do. So Charles will join us. By no means is that any less an exciting discussion for me than having the both of them in here. But what an interesting man. Started off as a journalist in the Eastern Cape, has been involved in writing various books, and he's just published a new book, but he's published poetry books. He became a member of the Union of Black Journalists. He was a member of the United Democratic Front. He left for exile in 1984. And after the unbanning of the ANC and various other revolutionary organizations, Charles Ngakula worked for the South African Communist Party. He took over once Chris Hani was assassinated, and became the General Secretary who replaced him. He was a member of Parliament, a minister in the Ministry of Defense here in South Africa, and became Minister of Police in 2009, and was appointed by President Zuma in 2012 to be our ambassador to Mozambique. So, a fascinating man with a fascinating history. He will be our guest just after 8 o'clock this morning. Wow. Anything you want to throw in, Mubs? We haven't covered any other news this morning.
No, that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
We'll survive.
Yeah. Perhaps. Perhaps we will survive. I think
as long as we don't get blocked by Donald Trump.
Well, as long as you know how to live, you know you'll stay alive because you got so much love to live.
That was going so well.
Until I stumbled on this.
Almost through the gate.
Damn it, Gloria Gaynor.
Where does that come from?
You know you haven't had enough sleep when your Gloria Gaynor is not on point.
You know what I mean?
Here's some Ray Piri with Stimela Zwakala. CliffCentral.com.
Respect.
Wednesday morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.